This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
اليوم 18 من شهر ذي القعدة 1445 الموافق ل كم 27 من شهر مايو 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك أشراط الساعة. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So if you remember last week we started dealing with a very important topic, which is about حجية خبر الأحد, using hadith which is ahad as a hujjah, evidence, dalil, to support every single part of the deen, not just the mu'amalat, but even the aqidah matters. Mazin, maybe we need your hotspot. Even the aqidah matters, meaning there is no difference between mutawatir and ahad when it comes to application. The only difference is that we give the preference to the mutawatir when it comes to making a preference. You know, let's say there is a contradiction between the two, then we prefer the mutawatir over the ahad because it is stronger in terms of authenticity than this. And when it comes to establishment and the certainty, is more certain than the ahad. Both of them, we are sure. You know that yes, what is being told to us is true, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Yeah, because we already laid down the principles for a hadith to be accepted. Once those principles are fulfilled by the narrators, then khalas. Yeah, or else we have to devise and bring and provide another principle, alternatively, in case we don't want to take from one of these narrators. But the scholars of hadith did not do that. They said if those conditions of authenticity are fulfilled, all of them, then we have no choice except to accept that hadith. So we only favor mutawatir over the ahad when there is contradiction, right, between the two hadith. This one is saying this and the other one is saying that, and we don't have any other way to combine between them, then we make the preference here. Otherwise, the scholars said, al-jam'u awla min at-tarjih. Yeah, to try to combine both, nusus and make use of them is always better than preferring one of them. They said, al-i'malu awla min al-ihmal. You know, making use of a text that comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is always better than ignoring one of them. So if we can use both of them, we use. But sometimes you might not find, any way, any chance for you to combine both, then we go for the preference. We take mutawatir, we prefer mutawatir over the ahad. Like in the case of the tashahud, you have in the tashahud of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, in some of its narration, you say, as-salamu ala nabi, instead of as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. But the first one, the second one, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, is mutawatir. Tawatirat al-nusus alayh. And Umar radiallahu anhu used to teach people this tashahud, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyu, 2 years later after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we favor this one over the other narration. Otherwise, if there is a possibility to use both of them, we use both. And as such also, we say to anyone who used this one, there's no problem, use this one. If he decided to use the other one also, there shouldn't be any issue on the matter. قَالَ وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدُ كل ما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you remember the last thing we talked about was the statement of Imam Ash-Shafi'i, right? It says, when you see me narrating a hadith from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and then I use something else, you should know that my aql is gone. Yeah, you should know that my aql is gone. Imam Ahmad said, كل ما جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بإسناد جيد أقررنا به. وإذا لم نقر بما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ودفعنا ورددنا رددنا على الله أمره. Imam Ahmad said, anything that is narrated to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, أقررنا به, we accept it. Whatever is being told to us that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, أقررنا به, we accept it. He says, أقررنا به وإذا لم نقر به بما جاء به بما جاء به بما جاء به رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ودفعنا. If we don't accept that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought to us, and we push it away, you know, we contradict it with something else. وَرَدَدْنَا, we return it, you know, we rejected it. رَدَدْنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَمْرَهُ, he says, actually what we are doing, we are rejecting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. We're not denying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're denying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. Is that clear? We're denying what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ, whatever is given to you by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَخُذُوهُ, take it. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam brought to you, take it. وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ, and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asks you to stay away from it, stay away from it. So we learn from this that whatsoever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave us is supposed to be used. We're supposed to apply it in our activities, mu'amalat, aqeedah, ibadat, everything. That's why Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, based on this ayah, he said, La'ana Allahu al-wasilah, al-wasilah wal-mustawsilah, wal-namisah wal-mutanamisah, wal-washimah wal-mustawshimah, wal-mutafallijati lil-husn allati yughayyirna khalq Allah. He said, Allah curses al-wasilah. Al-wasilah is the one who is making extension of the hair. The sisters who don't agree with the size and the length of the hair that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them, so they go and put, what do you call it, a wig or something. They put those extensions. The one who is doing and the one who is requested for another sister to do it for her, both are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who take it as a business, right? She's providing sisters these services. Both are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-wasila wal-mustawshi wal. Al-wasila wal-mustawsila. So the one who is doing and the one who was done upon, both are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-namisa wal-mutanamisa. Al-namisa, this is the one that is plucking the eyebrows. You know, how does that look, you know? But they said it is a sign of a beauty. Right? So whether they remove it completely or they shave it, it takes the same effect. والواشمة والمستوشمة, and those who are making the tattoo, you know, in some cultures, also part of the culture actually, yeah, they cut some part of themselves, the skin, you know, to make the design in the way they want. I think we all know this. Yeah. So this one is prohibited in Islam in two ways. First, it is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, it is also imitating the wrongdoers and the bad people, because in any community, even non-Muslim community, I think a normal person doesn't go for this. You see, decent people, they don't go for these things. So it's not for us. And the last one is al-mutafallijat al-husn. Those who are making gaps between their teeth. You go to the dentist and ask to cut some part of the teeth because they believe it's a sign of a beauty. Wallah, shaitan is playing with the aqulu. Yeah, that's disease in the heart of some. So all of these are cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the sisters, she went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. She told him, you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him. And I have gone through the Quran, but I do not see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I curse al-wasila wal-mustawsila. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, if you read the Quran, definitely you saw that place. She said, I did. He said, if you read it, definitely you saw the place. She said, I did, but I did not see. He said, didn't you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. She said, yes, you saw that one. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed those four sisters. Or he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed them. So if he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him, this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. From this text of the Quran, مَا أَتَكُمْ رَسُولٌ فَخُذُهُ, there's a hujjatu sunnah. If sunnah is authentic, we took from this evidence that anything that is authentically attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, it is wajib upon every Muslim to accept it. We cannot say, oh, this is aqidah, this is fiqh, this is mu'amala, this is this and that. No. Whatever is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ authentically, it is wajib upon every Muslim to accept it. You have no way to reject it. وَمَا أَتَكُمْ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. قَالَ فَلَمْ يَشْتَرِطِ الْإِمَامُ أَحْمَدْ إِلَّا صِحَّةَ الْخَبَرِ. Imam Ahmad did not make any condition for acceptance of a hadith except authenticity. That's it. Is it authentic? Alhamdulillah. If it is not authentic, then we reject it. قَالَ ابْنُ تَيْمِيَةَ السُنَّةُ إِذَا ثَبَتَتْ فَإِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كُلُّهُمْ مُتَّفِقُونَ عَلَى وُجُوبِ اتِّبَاعِهَا. He says, Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it is firmly established, meaning we have the chain which brought to us this sunnah, is authentic. He says it is the consensus of all of the Muslimin that everyone has to accept it. Everyone has to accept it. Because if you are going to make selection, you know, be very selective. We take this sunnah, we don't take, you know, subhanAllah. What is the point of claiming that we believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be the trust, the most trustworthy that ever exists, you know, in this ummah of ours? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted him to bring the message, right? But then we say, oh, this one we accept, this one we reject. What are we doing? You know? What is the meaning of we believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What is the meaning of Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah? What is Rasul? What is Rasul? A messenger, right? What does the messenger do? What does he do? The messenger, the conveying of the message from the one who sent him. If I say I don't accept this message, that means I'm criticizing the one who is sending him because he's not choosing the trustworthy person to convey the message. Yeah, I want us to understand this correctly. You know, when you start rejecting the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you're not rejecting, you know, something from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly. You're rejecting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very dangerous. Iwallah, it's very dangerous. So that's why we have to take this matter, you know, seriously. Whatever is authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have no choice except to listen and obey. وَقَالَ ابْنُ الْقَيِّمِ فِي رَدِّهِ عَلَى مَنْ يُنْكِرُ حُجِّيَةَ خَبَرِ الْأَحَدِ. Ibn al-Qayyim also was once refuting those people who said, we cannot extract evidence, you know, and act upon a hadith that is ahad. There are some people who believe that ahad is shaky, is weak, is doubtful. Yeah, we will talk about this, inshallah, in the future. قَالَ وَمِنْ هَذَا إِخْبَارُ الصَّحَابَ بَعَضُهُمْ بَعْضًا فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَجْزِمُونَ بِمَا يُحَدِّثُ بِهِ أَحَدُهُمْ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He said, قُدُوتُنَا أَصْحَابُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Our role model are the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. We follow them. We accept them. Whatever they say, we take our religion from them. Whatever they say, we value it and we imitate them in whatever they are doing. Then when we look at their life, Ibn Qayyim says, we found them trusting each other. Whenever one of them said, Qala Rasulullah, they all accept. Whenever one of them said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this and that, they accept. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَنْ حَدَّثَهُ أَرَسُولَهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ خَبَرُكَ خَبَرُ أَحَادٍ لَا يُفِيدَ الْعِلْمَ حَتَّى يَتَوَاتَرُ. We never got any place in the seerah of those companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where one of them ever said to the one who is telling him, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, your statement is خَبَرُ أَحَاد, and we are not going to listen to you until we find a huge amount of people supporting you in that statement. Never happened. One person will mention that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. That is the evidence they need. Jabir bin Abdullah, when he went to Abdullah bin Unais in Sham, spending 1 month, you know, he spent 1 month to reach that person, that companion. How many companions he visited in Sham to confirm that hadith? One. I mean, all the way for 1 month, you know, he has been going on a journey. 1 month. Until the time he reached Sham, when he reached Sham just to ask about that hadith from Abdullah ibn Unais. Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, when he wanted to confirm authenticity of a hadith, he went to Makkah and then Medina and then Basra. You know, all the way just to meet one person to get whether this hadith is okay or not. Yeah, that's why they succeed. Yeah, because they don't have these kind of innovations in their life. قال وكان أحدهم إذا روى لغيره حديثا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الصفات تلقاه بالقبول. And whenever they talk about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to each other, one of them said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he narrated a hadith that is related to the sifat من صفات الله عز وجل. The other one who is listening to that hadith will accept it, 100% accept it, that this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. تلقاه بالقبول واعتقد تلك الصفة به على القطع واليقين. And he believes in that. That necessitates and produces belief, you know, for that person. It produces belief. And he got this hadith from one person about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his sifat. This is what we're talking about, right? Because all of these debates that we see on Khabar al-Ahad, Ahad, Ahad, is all about sifatullahi azza wa jal. There are some people who believe that they have their own method in establishing the sifat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. What was the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in establishing the sifat? Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he narrated to us and let it move forward. And that's it. No modification, no change of meaning, no rejection, no diverting the original meaning to another meaning, none. That's why all the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the predecessors, they used to say, Amir Ruha kama ja'ad. Let the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pass in the way they came to us. So because some people want to have their own method, and the best way for them to do that is to reject khabaru al-ahad. Because most of these sifat, they're established through ahad, not mutawatir. So if they reject ahad, then khalas. All of these sifat that they don't want to establish, they will find it very easy for them to do that. Your life is very funny. Yeah. It's very funny. Allah says he has something, but somebody will come and tell him, no, he doesn't have. I mean, you will lie. Kids, they will not understand this. You know? Allah says, I have. And then somebody says, no, you don't. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he has. And then somebody says, no, he doesn't. What is this? Is there anyone who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than Allah? No. And what is it much easier than just saying, yes, Allah, you have, and then move forward, and khalas. What do you need apart from this, you know? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hidayat wa tawfiq. قَالَ كَمَا أَعْتَقَدَ رُؤْيَةَ الرَّبِّ. You know, just like the way they believe in the ru'yatullah, azza wa jalla. The companions, do they have issue with the ru'yatullah? No. They just say, Ya Rasulullah, do we see our Lord? They don't take it as something that is impossible. Ya Rasulullah, can we see Allah? Oh Lord, on the Day of Judgment, can we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you're going to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and لا تضامون عند رؤيتي. You know, you don't need to push each other. Please make some space for me to see you. Just like the way when you see the moon when it is, you know, full. Yeah, you don't need to tell your friends, please move, I want to see the moon. You just raise up. Salam. Please. Yes, I'm talking to you, please. Okay. So you don't need to tell him, move, because I want to see the moon. Or the sun. You don't need to tell somebody, move, because I want to see the sun. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is how you will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And that was enough for them. They don't make any comment or how is it possible Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen. No, that was very enough for them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you will be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. And then he says, فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاتٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا فَفَعْلُوا. He said, therefore, if you can be able not to miss a prayer before the sunrise and the prayer before the sunset, he said, do it. What are these prayers?
Fajr
and Asr. You can see how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make a link between seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prayers. The scholar said, which means, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِذَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. You are among those people who pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, you will not be deprived from this opportunity. Yeah. So the companions had no issue with this, رُؤِيَةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَتَكْلِيمُهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to Musa alayhi salam, and he speaks to whomsoever he wishes. Allah talked to Musa. Who else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to? Yeah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Isra wal Miraj and? Yeah. Ibrahim? Allah did not talk to him according to... That is one more. Adam alayhi salam. Yeah, because in the hadith of Abu Dharr, he says, Nabiyyum Mukallam. So he remember this, your name, right? Inshallah, Allah will speak to you, Adam, and all of us. So Adam also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Nabiyyum Mukallamun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to them. And these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to when they are alive. As for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to when they die, so only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Even Jabir's father also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him. This is after death. After death, this one is possible. Before death, we learned that only three people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. But what's wrong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking? I mean, even if you use the common sense, what's wrong with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking? Some people have issue with this. They don't agree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak. Yeah, so that's why they modify the hadith. And this Mu'tazila, subhanAllah, they try their best to make sure that the nusus of the Quran have been modified. Yeah, one of them told Abu Amr, he told him, you have to please help us to read this ayah like this. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. Read it as وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهَ مُوسَى, meaning Musa is the fa'il and Allah is mafulun bihi. Allah did not speak, but Musa was the one who was talking. But ayah says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, help us to refute this type of belief. Allah says, taklima. Taklima is an emphasis which shows that, yes, it's kalam, kalam. Because some of them said, it's not kalam, from speaking, it's from kalama. Kalama means to scratch, to injure somebody. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يكلم أحد في سبيل الله. Nobody will be injured for the sake of Allah. والله أعلم بمن يكلم في سبيله. They took the root of the word to another root. But Allah refuted them. In the same ayah, Allah says, taklima. Because that one is not taklima. The masdar should be kalman or kalaman. Cannot be takliman. Get takliman, then that is an emphasis which confirms that this is kalam, kalam, speech, speech. That's why when they understand this, that they have no choice, they went to the Qari, Abu Amr. They beg him because he is a Qari and a linguist, expert in the language, everyone trusts him. If he says, no, the Qara is like this, everyone will agree. But subhanAllah, those people, they are trustworthy. He told them, okay, no problem. If you can help me to propose how to read the other ayah, then I can help you with this. Okay, there is another ayah that says, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. Yeah, this one helped me how to fix this. Like, if you want me to fix that one, to fix this one for me, then I fix that one for you. Because there is no way for him to fix that, to change that one. وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ. It doesn't work in Arabic language, except to keep it as Musa is the one who talk. He cannot say وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبَّهُ. Even the kids who remember Arabic language, they will be laughing at you. Get it? And that's why they stayed away from the language. They now moved to another dimension. They said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created kalam and he put it in the tree that was there when Musa was speaking. You remember? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created kalam and put in the tree. So Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah told them, oh, we can accept this. Yeah, we can accept this. However, we accept it with a condition. You have to answer a question first. Since you said this is what happened, then we have a question. If you say that the tree was the one who was speaking, we heard in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah, he told Musa, Ana rabbuka fakhla'na alik. I'm your Rabb. And they asked him, oh, you mean the tree is the one that tells tell Musa alayhi salam, Ana rabbuk? Subhanallah. And then they keep quiet. What else they can do? All of these, they just don't want to say yes. I mean, what's wrong with saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks? I mean, just sit down and just think a little bit. What's wrong with saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks? But subhanAllah, there are some people who believe that if you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, then you are attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the sifat of human beings. Because we speak, then Allah cannot speak. Very ajib. Yeah. The goat in his house also scream, you know. And the sifat, it has eyes. But he believes that the eyes of a goat is not like his. The cat has eye. He believes that the eyes of a cat is not like his. You know, he believes that the eyes of his brother is not like his. You know, we're different in our sifat and we're human beings. Why is it when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he has sifat and somebody will come and say, no, it has looked like mine. And that's that, and therefore I will reject it completely. So they accept this one. Also, they have no issue with this one. وَنِدَأْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لِعِبَادِهِ بِالصَّوْتِ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُهُ الْبَعِيدُ كَمَا يَسْمَعُهُ الْقَرِيبُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to people on the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. It's a very, very, very tough day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will speak to everyone and everyone will hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say. They believe in this, that this is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. وَنُزُولُهُ إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا كُلَّ لَيْلَةٍ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down to the lowest heaven, you know, every night. Every night. Who says this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a sahih. In a very authentic way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. What is our job? To believe in it and to say alhamdulillah. Wallah, this is a very great and big news for us. To say alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us by himself, what do you want? And he comes to us. I mean, why do we need to know how is he coming? Why do I need to know? He says, I'm coming and I will be asking you at this moment. You know, my job is just to make sure I don't sleep at this moment. Just raise up your hand. You need to see him for you to ask your need. That means you're not in a state of need. You're not in a state of need. So my job and everybody's job is to accept whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for him. How is he doing? Why do we need to ask for this? You know? And then we open the door for debate, you know, this one. He says, he comes, we just say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. And then keep quiet. And we have so many. If he comes, then he left the arsh, then so many things, you know. Ya Rajul, ya. And then we have the modern explanation also. How to deal with, now in Malaysia is night. In Saudi Arabia, it's not night. And in some other countries, it's when we have our night, they just begin with the day, right? I think in the US, it's 12 hours, right? Yeah, no. We just Maghrib, they just morning. Marcus. How do you explain? I don't need to explain. If you're in the US, just tell them, Yanzil Rabbuna ila sama'i dunya, every night, finished. Where? In the US. How is it? How do I explain? You know, how does it work? You know, that's US and that's the Malaysia. That's this and that. How do I tell them? I don't know, but I know for sure. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said every night he comes. US is included. I say yes. Malaysia is included. Yes. Saudi is included. Yes. Every other place. How is he making it? No, that's up to when you go to Jannah. Inshallah, pray to Allah, fast and do the righteous deed. When you go to Jannah, Allah speaks to you, tell him, Ya Allah, how is that happening? But for now, just get busy with Ya Allah, sometimes some of these explanations, I found them unnecessary. We're just doing them unnecessarily, and we don't need them at all. You might open the door for some other questions that you get stuck, you don't know how to deal with it. Say, Yanzil, and that's it. Ya Allah, Qeedah to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is very simple, very easy, very nice. And you don't need to worry about anything. You get it? وَضَحِكُهُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs. They believe in that. Allah, does he laugh? Subhanallah, even the Bedouin, when he hears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughs, he was so happy. He says, oh. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, our Rabb laughed? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. He was so happy. He says, definitely, if the one who laughs, the Rabb that laughs, we shouldn't lose hope in this Rabb. These are the Bedouins, you know, al-fitran. Allah laugh. Any evidence for this? Let me give you the easiest one and give you the most difficult one. Okay. The hadith of the last person who will be going to Jannah. The last person who will be going to Jannah. Yeah. The last person who will be going to Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know that hadith, right? So at last Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him, go and enter paradise. He goes, it appears to him that the place is full, there is no space for him. So he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, atastahzi'u bi wa anta rabbul alameen. Ya Allah, you send me to a place, you know it is full. Are you making mockery on me and you are rabbul alameen? Subhanallah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah told him, Allah laughed at him first. Allah laughed at the statement. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, أَمَا إِنِّي لَا أَسْتَهَزِئُ بِكَ وَلَكِنِّي عَلَى مَا أَشَأُ قَادِرُ أُدْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ وَلَكَ مِثْلُ الدُّنْيَا وَعَشْرٌ ثَالِحَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, no, I'm not making mockery of you. Go to Jannah and you have similar, you know, the space that is similar to the dunya and 10 times of it. Subhanallah. That's the one who believes that there is no space for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go. You have mithl dunya wa ashran thariha. That's why some scholars said, 11 times of the dunya. This is the lowest level in Jannah. This is the poorest person in Jannah who has more than 10 times of this dunya. So what are you fighting for in this dunya? You Allah, just look at this, you know, that you understand why are you fighting in this dunya? We fight for dunya, we kill for dunya, we hate for the dunya, we do everything, you know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he said, Mawdi'u sawtin fil jannah, uqsimu billah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us, he said, Mawdi'u sawtin fil jannah, khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma'aliha. One spot that you put a whip. You know the whip is small, right? The thing you take and hit somebody. He said, that spot in Jannah is better than the dunya and whatsoever in it. Only that place. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not easy for the believer to see the last part of his kingdom in Jannah. It's not easy for a believer to see the last part of his kingdom in Jannah. One tent in Jannah, that just swim a little bit in Jannah, you know? One tent in Jannah, the length is around 90 kilometers. One. Subhanallah. Yeah. And you have everything you need. Ibn Qayyim says, your wife in Jannah. Okay, that's for the sisters. For those sisters who say they're not mentioned in Jannah. There are some sisters who say they're not mentioned in Jannah. You know? What is the reply to them? They are part of Jannah, actually. Without them, Jannah will not be interested in the way it is. You know. They're part of the Jannah, which makes it more beautiful. Just like in this dunya, when things are being dealt with in the best way, this is who the sisters are. Iwallah. Integral part of this life, which if you remove it, life will not be good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for Adam, his wife. He says, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا. If he can live and survive properly without a wife, then he will stay away from it. Ibn Qayyim says, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, that's more fancy and better than what Ibn Qayyim says. He says, one of these, when she put the adornment, you know, she puts the clothes, layers of adornment and clothes on her body, 70 layers of But since the beauty of the skin will refuse to be hidden, could be seen through the... Get it? So Ibn Qayyim in his Nuniyya, which I don't advise you to go and read, unless if you're married, then you go. Yeah, because if you read that one, you will say this is a gangster. Ayyuallah. Some of our scholars, when they read, they just say, Rahimallah Ibn Qayyim. It doesn't sound like Ibn Qayyim. But Allahu A'lam. So he says, مَا فِي الْخِيَامِ سِوَى الَّتِي لَوْ قَابَلَتْ لِلنَّيِّرَيْنِ لَقُلْتَ مُنْكَسِفَانِ. He said, there is nobody in those tents that you see, the tents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the Jannah, except that sister. If she's going to stand next to you between the sun, you will say the sun of the moon eclipsed. There is an eclipse of the sun and the moon. Meaning the light of the sun and the moon will be gone. So this is Jannah, in brief. And all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us, in some places he says nuzulan. If you go with the custom of the Arabs, what is nuzul? Where is it? Where are the Arabs? No, it's not to sit down. It's to come. Nuzul, they said, this is the first thing you provide a guest when somebody visits you. You know, that little drink and some snacks, you know, before the heavy meal comes. Yeah. So they said, if all of these mentions are nuzul, then what exactly are you going to receive after this then? All of these things that you cannot imagine, Allah says, nuzulan min ghafur rahim. Subhanallah. So that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, do everything possible to go to Jannah. If there is anything to compromise in this dunya, don't compromise with Jannah. You know, do everything possible to be decent, to be good, and don't worry about the dunya. Don't fight with the dunya. You know, don't fight for the dunya. Look for it. Preserve your dunya, you know, no problem. You love dunya, but make sure that akhirah is on top of you. And you're looking for the dunya for the sake of the akhirah. Wallahi, this is my advice to all of you. Otherwise, you're going to be, you know, a very sensitive person when it comes to supporting the deed. And it will be very difficult for you to take one cent in your business to support the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why you have, when it comes to, you know, charity activities, it's not easy for a person, you know, in most instances, to sacrifice his time to be part of those activities. It's not easy for us. Yeah. And I don't blame people, but this is part of who we are. It's part of who we are. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughed at him and told him, go. There is another person also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laughed at. Who was that? I know. Two brothers, right? One of them killed the other one. Uh-huh. When he was kafir, he killed the Muslim in the battle, and then later on he converted to Islam. Right? He also died as a jihad. So both of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them together and laugh at them. Allah. Because laughing usually is based on what? Rida. Usually laughing is based on rida, acceptance. Tabassum is different. That's why we don't describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tabassum. What is tabassum? Smiling. Tabassum might be out of anger, right? Sulaiman says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِكًا مِّن قَوْلِهَا. That's mean he laughed. Because tabassum might be based on anger. Do you smile when you are angry? Somebody is telling you nonsense. Sometimes you smile, right? That's why the Arab said, if you see the niyub al-usti barizatan, you see, whenever you see the fangs, the canines of the lion open, don't you ever think that the lion is smiling? You know? Ka'b ibn Malik, when he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fatabassama tabassum al-mughdhab. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled the smile of smiling of somebody who is really angry. Trust me, even your children, you know, children, they know which smile you're doing. You smile, they know which smile you're doing. They will tell you, Abby, is everything fine? Anyway, so the sifa that we got for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-dahik, also established through khabar ahad. Companions have no issue with that. Wa farahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. Is that true? Any hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy? Allahu ashaddu farahan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more happier. You know, when a person repents, when you repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy. So this is sifa, right? Happiness is sifa, means sifatillahi azza wa jalla, happy with a person, right? Allah is happy with you, much happier than you. You know, you're happy when you repent to Allah. Allah is happier than. He's much happier than that person who is traveling in a desert, right? And he slept. When he woke up, he couldn't find his camel and the food and drink and everything was on the camel. So he checked, searched for it, and he couldn't get the camel. So he decided to come back to the same place and sleep until death. Because there is nothing to be done. When he woke up, he found his camel with the food. He was so happy. What did he say? Allahumma ana rabbuk wa anta abdi. He says, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. What is that? Kufr or Islam? Big kufr. Even Fir'aun did not say anta abdi. Fir'aun says, ana rabbukum al-a'la. But Allahumma stand. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not hold him responsible for this. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, akhta'a min shiddati al-farah. He was so happy, in a way he made a mistake. That's why judgment when you are so happy is wrong. Judgment when you are so angry is wrong. The hadith says, لا يقضي القاضي وهو غضبان. The judge shouldn't decide cases when he's angry. The scholar said, we made qiyas also. When he's too happy, no court. He should stay home first. Come to the court after a few days. Right? You know what will happen? The top criminals will be brought on that day. And this judge is so happy. He will not understand what are you talking about. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. Inshallah, don't do that again. Huh? Please, I don't want to see you again. Go. You and the family, we will compensate you. Inshallah. Just forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah tuhibbuna yaghfir Allahu lakum. Come on. Inshallah. You know, everyone who comes, just go. La haraj. Ifa'al wa la haraj. The same goes to when he is angry. Simple things, he might take somebody to jail for 100 years. So that's why the jaw has to be mu'tadil for the judges. So this person is the best example also to support that, hukum mentioned by the scholars concerning the judges. Wa imsaku samawati wal ardi ala isba' min asabir rahman. Min asabi yadihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fingers. True? Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fingers. In a very authentic hadith. Ahad, not mutawatir, but very authentic hadith. He will take the heavens and put them on the isba. Take the mountains and the finger on the isba. Isbun yaliqu bi jalali. Finger that fits Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these creations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shake them and say, Ana al-Malik, Aina mulukul ard? I'm the Malik. Where are the other kings? Because on the day of judgment, nobody will claim anything except Rabbul Alameen, because he is the one who has the sovereignty. The only one who can claim the kingdom. Allah says, Liman al-Mulkul Yawma, Lillahi al-Wahidi al-Qahar. قال وإثبات القدم له. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they establish qadam. Qadam means foot. Is there any evidence for this? Look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting people in Jahannam, right? لا يزال يلقى فيها وهي تقول هل من مزيد. Until the time يضع الرب أو الجبار قدمه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put his foot. And then he will say قط قط قط. So we got from this, which is ahad, and the companions of the Prophet ﷺ had no issue with this. من سمع هذه الأحاديث ممن حدث بها الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو عن صاحب اعتقد ثبوت مقتضاها. Whoever listened to these ahadith, from whoever is telling them the ahadith, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they accepted these ahadith instantly. They don't reject it. اعتقد ثبوت مقتضاها بمجرد سماعها من العدل الصادق ولم يرتف فيها. Doesn't have any doubt that this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. حتى إنهم ربما تثبتوا في بعض أحاديث الأحكام ولم يطلب أحد منهم الاستظهار في رواية أحاديث الصفات البتة. You know, sometimes they might have, you know, to ask somebody to, you know, confirm. They might try to confirm, reconfirm the existence of some of the hadith that are related to Ahkam. But when it comes to the sifat, they know that there is no joke in this. These are matters of sincerity and the very sensitive matters. So whenever a companion tells them something, they just accept it. بل كانوا أعظم مبادرة إلى قبولها وتصديقها والجزم بمقتضاها وإثبات الصفات بها من المخبر لهم بها الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes they are actually quicker than the one who is narrating the hadith to them in terms of accepting and applying. Yawallah. Those were the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ لَهُ أَدْنَى إِلْمَامٌ بِالسُّنَّةِ وَالْتِفَاتٌ إِلَيْهَا يَعْلَمُ ذَلِكَ. Whoever has a little bit of knowledge, you know, of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understands what I'm talking about. وَلَوْلَا وُضُوحُ الْأَمْرِ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذَكَرْنَا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ مِئَةِ مَوْضُعٍ. Ibn Qayyim says, if not because of the fact that this is very clear, whoever read the history, this is very clear to everyone. He says, trust me, I'm willing to mention not less than 100 evidences to support what I have just said. That the companions, they never ask somebody about khabar, whether it's ahad or mutawatir. فَهَذَا الَّذِي اتَّمَدَهُ نُفَاتُ الْعِلْمِ عن أخبار الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم خرقوا به إجماع الصحابة المعلوم بالضرورة. That opinion that, you know, and the manhaj, an approach which those people who rejected knowledge to be gained from the khabar al-ahad, because they said khabar al-ahad la yufil al-ilm, it doesn't produce knowledge. So they negate knowledge from khabar al-ahad, depending on whatever they are depending on. Ibn Qayyim says, at the same time, they are actually going against the ijma of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which cannot be rejected by anyone. وإجماع التابعين, the ijma of the tabi'in. وإجماع أئمة الإسلام, and the ijma of the leaders of the Muslimin. ووافقوا به المعتزلة والجهمية والرافضة والخوارج, and they are agreeing with the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiya. You know Jahmiya, right? Those ones are too lost. In the way even names also they don't accept for Allah. Allah doesn't have a name according to them. They went beyond the limitation. Even name, you cannot say Allah is Ar-Rahman, you know. I don't agree with that. وَالْرَوَافِدْ Rafid they are known, right? وَالْخَوَارِجْ and the Khawarij. الَّذِينَ إِنْتَهَكُوا هَذِي الْحُرُمَةِ وَتَبِعَهُمْ بَعْضُ الْأُسُلِيِّينَ وَالْفُقَهَا. Those who goes against the ijma of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you find an unfortunately some of the fuqaha following them. And some of the Usuliyin following them. قال وإلا فلا يعرف لهم سلف من الأئمة بذلك بل صرح الأئمة بخلاف قوله. Ibn Qayyim says, otherwise, I have never come across anyone who is upon this manhaj of theirs. Nobody, to my knowledge, who is saying this amongst أئمة الإسلام. بل صرح بخلاف قوله. He said, in fact, what we got from the أئمة is the contrary, the opposite. ممن نص على أن خبر الواحد يفيد العلم. You know, among those scholars who mention very straightforward, you know, that خبر الواحد يفيد العلم. It produces knowledge. كمالك والشافعي وأصحاب أبي حنيفة. You know, just like Imam Malik والشافعي and the students of Abu Hanifa. وداود بن علي and داود بن علي الظاهري. وأصحابه كأبي محمد بن حزم. This is just example, right? It doesn't mean the Imam Ahmad and the other scholars they do not accept this. No, all of them accept. But he's just quoting the one that their people might be thinking you know, that they don't agree with Khabar al-Ahad. And he added on top of them Zahiriyya. Because Zahiriyya, they have no issue with this. They shouldn't have. Because having issue with Khabar al-Ahad is against the whole, I mean, concept of being a Zahiri. قالوا أما ما عرض للمنكرين ما عرض للمنكرين لحجية خبر الواحد من شبهة وهي أن خبر الأحاد يفيد الظن ويعنون به الظن الراجح لجواز خطأ الواحد أو غفلته أو نسيانه والظن الراجح يجب العمل به في الأحكام اتفاقا ولا يجوز الأخذ به عندهم في المسائل الاعتقادية. Okay, this one I guess will be the best place to start and to begin with in the next class, inshallah. So I will stop here. In the next class, we will continue from here. Be Allah grant us good.
First question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum wa dunya wa akhirah. A follow-up of the previous question. After Idda, is the father responsible to pay for tickets and accommodation so that the mother can, provide for the children? And is he sinful to not allow the children to spend time with the mother?
Is it obligatory?
Yeah, is the father responsible to pay the tickets and accommodation of the mother and the children? And is he sinful to not allow the children to spend more time with
in
the
what,
mother?
In what sense?
After Idda.
After the Idda?
Yeah.
He's paying for the ticket for what?
The woman.
To
woman and children.
For what?
They're probably going back to their home.
They're living abroad. And he should. He cannot leave her. He was the one who brought her to that country. He has to pay for her to go back to her family. And therefore, it's wrong for him to divorce her before he takes her back. He takes her back first to home, then divorce, then leave. Because when he divorced her, and then, after the Idda, according to that opinion that says she needs a mahram to travel, then how does she go? Because he's not her mahram. So, whatever is going on between them is between them. But at the same time, he should think wisely, not to put her into trouble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, if there is a divorce, the divorce should be done very peaceful divorce. Unfortunately, our life is traumatized, and distorted. We don't live in a good way. That's why when the divorce comes, it comes in the wrong way. Either after fighting and beating or cursing, and all of this, and then divorce. He doesn't want to see her, she doesn't want to see him, like that. No. Allah doesn't want the divorce to be like that. إِمْسَاكُمْ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ إِحْسَانٌ. No curses, no beating, no tarnishing the image, no anything. And he should do it also in the correct way. He takes her to another country and he divorces her. What does he want her to do? So if there is a case like this, I will advise him, if this divorce is not the last one, to bring her back. Take her back to her family first, and then divorce. If he doesn't want to meet the family, which is very unfortunate, then let her go until she reach home in front of her door, and then divorce and run away. Coward. Yeah. Yeah. What's wrong with going to the family, sit with them, talk to them, have a nice... maybe they might have some solution. Let them understand that, yes, there is something going on between you and their daughter. And you don't think there is any way to fix this issue. However, if they have any suggestion, they should give. But then you tell them that I'm afraid of harming her. So if I keep her, I'm pretty sure I'm going to harm. So I don't want to harm her. She does not do anything that she deserves this. And as such, I believe the best is to let her go without any harm. Allah, they will appreciate what he did. But unfortunately, this is not our life. Our life is not based on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when the divorce comes, it comes in the way you all know. So it is his responsibility to pay for the ticket for her to leave that country and go back home.
Okay, Sheikh, next question is by Sister Shafa. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, Sheikh. Muslims who live in the West usually encounter unusual prayer timings, such as Isha being around 11:30 p.m. So in a recent instance, my family followed the Jama'ah in the masjid that took place right after Maghrib, despite Isha being at 11:30 p.m. In this case, was the Imam doing the right thing?
Combine the prayer. As long as, unless it is so tough, very difficult for people to cope with, then they can combine. Other than that, then they're going to live throughout their life combining the prayers. They should sleep and wake up and pray. What's wrong with that, Delaying actually Isha is better. Get it? Delaying Isha is better than praying right at the beginning of the time. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam delayed Isha one day and he prayed when people started sleeping. Actually, when somebody went to him and told him that people start to sleep, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out and he prayed and he said, Wallahi, this is the real time for Isha. And if not, because I don't want to put my ummah in the state of difficulty, I always delay the Isha up to that moment. So if it is not difficult, if people can afford coming, it's better for them to pray and then sleep. When is Fajr at that?
In that place. I'm sure, sir.
Yeah, if they still have time, to Fajr, then why not? Why can't they wait?
Okay, Sheikh. Two more questions. Okay, Sheikh, the next question is, a sister wants to know, when families travel for Hajj and do their Udhiyah in Saudi, do they also have to slaughter an animal in their home country?
They're doing Hajj, right?
Yeah.
The one who's doing Hajj doesn't need to do Udhiyah.
Doesn't
have to. Unless if he has family there, he wants to do for his family, no problem. But for him, Hajj is enough.
If it's a whole family?
Then khalas, they're going to do Hadi in that place. No problem. That's more than enough.
Okay.
They want to buy cow, sheep to share with those people who are not fortunate to have, that's something else. That's it. They will be rewarded, inshallah. But that, that Hadi is more than enough. However, there are many. Some of our scholars who believe that they can also do if they want. Hadida, and they do over here at home.
Is that also right? Or?
Yeah, some of our scholars mentioned that. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, not really sure, but Ibn Baz, I think in one of his fatwas was on it. It's just better for them to stick to the Hadi. And if there is any family member at home, they do. If they want to send the meat to somewhere else for people to benefit, that's something else.
Yes, sir.
They will not lose, whatever they do, inshallah.
Sure. Last question, Sheikh. Question by Sister Aisha. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh. Can a sister travel without mahram to the country where the ex-husband resides and has told her he can sponsor a ticket so the mother can spend time with children in that country, instead of the father bringing them to the mother, as he is afraid the mother will get the custody?
Why wouldn't he marry her again if they're finished? What is this, I will never advise her to do that. Do you get what I'm getting, right? He divorced the wife, she's in her country, and now he wants her to come to his country, or whatever country, to stay, not as his wife, just to take care of the kids. No problem, but why wouldn't he marry her again? How is he going to relate with her? If he trusts her, send the kids to her then. He's afraid of losing the custody. So keep the custody with him. His mother can do the job. His aunt, his grandparent, his sister can help. What is she going to be doing there, Honestly speaking, she's going to be depressed. Yeah? And then she's looking for a right which Islamically, it is not imposed upon him, but he made it. You know, if he decided not to do, she got stranded in that country and her family are not there to help her. What is she doing? If he wants, let him come to the parent in a very decent way, remarry her again, and take her back. He believes that she's qualified to take care of his kids. Then sit down with her and ask her, why do we divorce? Sometimes the cause of the divorce is very silly. Iwallah is very silly. It's just impatient from him. Sometimes from her, sometimes from him. But if they sit down and address the matter in a very respectable way, it will be resolved. But then she's in her country. He brought her to his country, whatever country, to just stay there, you know, just to keep... what kind of sister is this, you know, if she even agree with that? You should send the kids to her, in her place, where she has a full protection. She has somebody to refer to when she's in trouble. Get it? She's sick, right? She's going to go to the hospital. Okay? She needs somebody to be next to her. Who? Let's say he's living in the Western communities. You get it? Who will take care of her? Nobody. Except him. And he is not the mahram. As a wife, she needs somebody when he comes. As a husband, what does he do? My thing is going to say. Touch her head and kiss his wife and tell her, sorry, we are with you. Wallahi, that's emotional, you know, feeling will give her, you know, more relief than whatever statement he's going to give. And then imagine that she's sick and she's in the hospital and he's going to be away from her, you know. Cannot do what the husband and wife does. I'm telling you, he will increase her pressure, actually. Remembering her life with him, and she's just in this country hanging around just for him and his kid, you know. Why would she accept this? So if this divorce is not the third divorce, it appears to me that, yes, there is something wrong in the divorce itself. The husband should just think wisely. Go sit down and resolve the case, you know, between him and the wife. Remarry her again. Take her back to the... Is that clear, inshallah? Okay. I think that makes more sense than he just paying for a ticket for her to come, you know, just for the kids, and to live in that place for the kids. It's not healthy for her to do that. That's it. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.